Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 267, part 2, the conclusion to Wash. Today is Sunday, November 18th, 2012.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Kept the view while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
That'd be like someone in the orchestra. Here's the director, and he's doing really well. He's directing this whole ensemble of horns and flutes and cellos and whatever they have, and drums and all of this, violins. And someone pulls out of their pocket their little stick and tries to start directing the director. No, he's going to blow whichever way he wants to blow, and no one's going to stop the move of the Holy Spirit or direct it. Or say that they fully understand. You're not going to blow over there. You can't blow down in the ghetto, and you can't blow down. These people don't want to hear about Jesus. Don't even mention it to them. They're all drunk. Look at the great big nose on that dude. Well, the wind is going to blow over there. And the Holy Spirit's going to blow over there. And all of a sudden, old Bulb Nose is going to be preaching. Because he's going to blow whichever way that he wants to. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but thou canst not tell where it cometh from and whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit, and people are going to be saved by the multitude millions. But anyway, sometimes God's anointed preachers bring in a dreadful light. Not that they even know it. Maybe their own life, maybe their own suffering caused people to be exposed. Do you think for one minute that the exposing, let's say of Gary Hart, didn't expose a lot of other people? Who was really exposed in all of this? thousands, millions. We really find out where our hearts are at when we see things like this. Or the exposing of the bakers. How many were exposed, I mean not by the same thing, but by the way they were treated in the exposing. Ooh. It's one thing to be exposed by a man, but to be exposed by the Holy Ghost is another thing. Ooh. But that mask is taken away. And you're seeing people's masks falling down. And you're seeing the true nature of man when it comes to mercy. We have none sometimes. You see the true face of man in the manipulation. That veil of self-flattery, like the false prophet, Mokana, who it says veiled himself with a silver veil and said, my brightness would be too much. In reality, the Bible says he had a deforming disease. Suddenly you're seeing yourself as perverted and base and loathsome. Rejoice! You're ready to be saved. That silver veil of self-flattery has been lifted. And even after you are saved, there are many other veils that have to come off. Well, there might be seven of them. I don't know. Because the Holy Spirit, you know, withers all human self-righteousnesses. And thus makes room for the thrust of the Holy Spirit and makes us open to trust in the Lord Jesus. Because I believe man by nature is blindly proud and proudly blind. Proud of being that way. And so I tell you people, God's Spirit is moving. And so many times when we're looking at the move of the Holy Ghost, we're looking at people, see, the Holy Spirit has revealed. Oh, see, there you are. There you are, there on that big dung heap. But really, who is revealed? Who is revealed in it? Job's friends were revealed. The children, the wife, the people under Job were revealed. And so whilst he was sitting on a dunghill, and people were saying, you know, you've been revealed, who was really revealed? Well, now sometimes it makes you kind of want to tremble. I will have mercy for those that show mercy. Well, rejoice if these things are happening to you. Because God's Spirit is on the move. Maybe you're listening to me on the radio, and all of a sudden you're feeling a terrible gloom. Well, maybe you have everything, but you feel so empty. Are you all of a sudden aware of sin? Do your fellow beer slurpers look strange to you suddenly? Grotesque? Bug-eyed? Veiny? Yellow-toothed? Hideous? Is their talk becoming too much for you? Is their burping too much for you? Are the dirty jokes too much all of a sudden? Are you a homosexual and all of a sudden the greater move towards acceptance This greater move towards acceptance makes homosexuals, I think, sick of themselves. Did you ever know sometimes you give a person enough of one thing, they get sick of it? You want ice cream? Well, here. Well, kids used to ask me, you work at your dad's cafe. You're lucky you can have all the ice cream you want. Years ago, you couldn't afford to buy ice cream. I said, yeah, I had all the ice cream I wanted in one night, and that's all I want. And I ate all the pie I want, too. I don't want to even look at a piece of pie. I'm sick of it. And so sometimes, the releasing of these things and the allowing of homosexuality and so on like that to be accepted and so on like that, after it is accepted and it's not a forbidden type of thing, they get sick of it, too. So, really, who is revealing the thing? There's nothing left to fight about now. Go ahead and be one if you want to. Go ahead and be a homosexual. It's all right, it's accepted. Now, all of a sudden, as to many of them, and I've talked to enough, it's grotesque. It's how'd I ever get into this mess? Is that sin any greater? No, I don't think it is. But I do know this. When a person is allowed to go, they go to the end of the thing there. Now this AIDS is the end of the thing. No, it isn't looking so good. You're one of God's chosen if you're starting to get a little bit sick of it. And so he's showing you your sin. It's nothing to be ashamed of. It's no more or no less than any other sin. You know what? You're going to be saved and free soon. Now, I know some people think that, God can forgive anything, but I don't know. If they're a homosexual, I think that's the end of it. That's really in some people's doctrine. No, but for the grace of God, you could have been a homosexual yourself, you listening on the radio, and some of you self-righteous nerds, too. Maybe you even have leanings that way. I don't know. That's your business. Be honest about it, and you'll start leaning the other way. No, I think you're going to be freed soon, and women livers, all kinds of rights groups and communists and leftover Nazis and Jehovah's Witnesses and morons and self-goody-goody people, God's after you. God has turned on his light, and it's like you're sort of walking through a tunnel, and it looked all right in the dark. But now it's all lit up, and it's revealing snakes and frogs and all kinds of bugs and rats. Because those sun's rays are penetrating your soul, just like when I got saved. We all got saved. And that sun rays come in through that tunnel and into your soul and start revealing things. Until finally you yell out with Paul, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" I've tried everything, and it keeps wandering back to the garbage can. Maybe you even feel doomed, unsavable. That is a damnable lie. Sometimes people say that it's a damnable doctrine that once saved, always saved. Well, I say that's a damnable thing to say. To tell someone they're damned. Because when you tell someone they're damned, where does that leave you? You're not the judge and you're not the jury. And the way that you judge, so shall ye be judged also. You're going to be judged in the same manner. Man, that just keeps me from judging. Well, as best as is within me, okay? At least that gets me to thinking about it before I do it. No, I think through death to life, every soul must pass. And you ask, how does it feel? Sharp conviction. Some even feel like they're being followed. A guy called me and says, it's just like someone's following me. And I thought, well, first, their first thought is, well, the guy is schizo, you know. He's, you know, like somebody's following me. You know that song? Do-do-do, someone is following me, or something like that. I heard it on the radio. It's an old one now, I guess, isn't it? Isn't that, ooh, somebody's following me, or something like that? Well, see, what's happening is somebody is following. Maybe he's on drugs or something like that. And demons are after him and everything. And you know, but something else is following him. The Holy Ghost. No, brother, you're not going crazy. The Holy Spirit is following you. God wants to get you saved, and the Holy Ghost is following you. Some feel like they're being watched. They'll pull down their shades, and they do all kinds of nutsy things, you know what I mean? Turn out the lights, peek out the curtains. Someone's watching me. I know they are. Huh? God's watching you. I can remember being in my basement and I knew God was watching me. And I got pins all over my whole body and I said, you are going nuts. And it finally dawned on me that God, I said, you know what? God is watching me. And as soon as I voiced that, I got free. You ever feel like somebody's watching you? Never had that feeling like somebody's watching you? Well, if you ever shoplifted, you get that feeling for sure. Well, it's just like when you're shoplifting. Do you ever shoplift? Did the thought ever come to you that you'd like to change the tags on the skirts? They're almost the same. Did it ever come to you? Sure it did. Did you ever feel like someone was watching you? And even after you laid it down and you just rushed away from it, going to the till even, you felt like someone was watching you. They must know. May I help you? Yeah, they do know. Look how strange she looks. You go outside and you feel like somebody's watching you? I'm talking about that kind of you think somebody's watching you. It's the Holy Ghost. It's conviction. Well, of course, you didn't change the tags. You could have. Maybe you even got up to the counter and you noticed, oh, golly, someone switched these tags. This is the good kind. No. $1.19. This is a $5.99 one. And she you hold back and hold back and hold back until they ring it. And you go home with it and you try it on. Oh, well, praise God, the Lord blessed me. Even get into that kind of thing. God must have wanted me to have it for $1.19. Well, why do you feel like your clothing abhor you then? And so you don't sleep for a couple days and finally you take it back. I think someone made a mistake here and I just felt it'd be my Christian duty to bring this back. Someone must have switched the tags on this. I got it home, and a friend of mine bought. And they tell another lie. A friend of mine bought one of these, and I just thought, "You paid $5.99 for that? Well, goodness, I'm going to take it back to this sales girl. What if they would attack her for this, and she might even lose her job? I didn't know. I've never got here. Who's watching you? The Holy Spirit's watching you. Yeah, I mean that's great. Don't fall apart. Don't go to a $45 for a half an hour psych. Holy Spirit psyched you. Made you go back and take that thing back. You're glad to get rid of it too. Huh? No, none of you have ever experienced that on the radio. I know, no, not me. Huh? Huh? No, from death to life must every soul pass, and all by itself. Maybe you feel like you go to a church and the preacher can read your mind, or he tells a story and it just fits you just right to a T. Maybe you're faint at heart, or you're struggling for hope. Maybe you have a fear that taunts you, and you don't know, oh, I just got this terrible fear. Maybe you have an awful fight of fiercely strange emotions. Ooh, just God, if anybody knew I had this emotion and these fantasies. Ooh, if I could only shut up, if I could put my head in the vise and turn it and just squeeze him right out of my nose. How many know everybody has fantasies? You don't have fantasies? How many in here have fantasies? Well, I sure have them. Every time Clark Gable would do something, or Mickey Rooney, or any of those guys, I was right in there with them. Did you ever see Mickey Rooney when they get into these crying things? He could just twist up his face and bawl. The Andy Hardys? They used to get into that. Huh? Did you ever have them awful fights with yourself about these strange emotions? Did you ever have the emotion of one of your kids, you know, all of a sudden, here's one of your kids, and you just love them to pieces. Oh, you love them so much. And then one day you look at him and say, oh, you know what, I can't stand that kid. Cannot stand that kid. How many of you ever had those emotions where there's times when they cannot stand their kid? They are icky poo. If I have to look at your screwed up face one more time, I'm leaving home. That isn't a time to get into a guilt trip. It's a time for the Holy Spirit to convict you and allow yourself the truth of the word that you're a sinner saved by grace. That's as far as you're going to go. That's as much as you're going to attain. It's all the more reason to praise God. You mean when you get so high, you stop praising God? Well, that's what keeps you praising God. That's what keeps you sane. That's what keeps you loving your children. Not that you don't have a love for him. I'm just saying these occasional twinges of outward hate. And some people really get into that. I hate you. I cannot stand you. But anyway, I think this then is an extreme measure of life change. And so we can go on to the milder forms. A lot of times with one decisive stab, the true heart is born again, like zip, and is born again. But as everybody else, there is a valley of death that we must pass through. Yea, though I pass through the valley, you are with me. You pass through it. I mean, you know, you think that's when you die? Well, you die daily. You pass through that valley daily. I believe every pilgrim must wade through, and some take years and some take hours, but that's God's business. I think that's a fact. I think that sudden death then is an occasional fact. More times than not, the saints don't come peaceably to heaven. They come with heel marks all across the kitchen floor. Now, I didn't say here on planet Earth that sudden conversions don't happen. But I believe as a rule, men gradually pass into the kingdom of heaven. Because, see, in between the sensual and the spiritual, there is a great gulf. And it must be passed. And so what wind and what weather in which you make the passage is not for me to say. It could be a long and a hard one, or it could be short. It depends on how much sail you put up. The guy called me the other day and he said, "Well, what starts us out?" Well, what starts you out is conviction of sin. And he said, "Why?" I said, "Because it makes mercy that much more precious." You know, if someone gives you mercy and just keeps you giving you mercy all the time, you know what I mean. Sometimes when God holds out a little bit, isn't that mercy much more precious when it comes? You bawl your child out, and of course you have mercy on them. When you spank them, you're having mercy on them. When you make them go to their room, you're having mercy on them. Don't confuse those two things. But to that child, mercy is when you pick him up. Now, if you make him stand there, I remember my mother saying that here, that my grandma, her mother, would sing away, and Gusty would just sing away there, and she would be doing the wash. She took in wash for people. And then they had a big wash tub and one of these chore boy things and like this, and they put the iron on the stove and get it hot. I mean, So anyway, then she said she'd sit me over in a corner, and then she wouldn't talk to me. She'd sing and pretend like I wasn't even there. By the time she got around to me, I was ready for it. That mercy was so sweet because I longed after it. I wanted it so much. Sometimes you make a mistake. We reprimand our children, and then we just say, "Oh, it's all right. Well, just don't let it happen again, okay?" 3 minutes in their room. Sometimes you have to hold off to make a point. I'm not talking about being a ghoul or anything like that. Sometimes hold off. Be in prayer while that person in there is seeking mercy. Well, just your child I'm talking about. It's not for you to get into somebody else. Give them mercy whenever they need it. But your child, you know, just leave it now. Leave it for a time. And then you get there and pray. That mercy is going to be mighty sweet when they get it. And you know what it'll be when you go through them greatest trials? Well, the future trial will be so great you will gain patience. Because you're always going to have trials. And there's a future trial coming up for you, even whilst you're sitting here listening to me. It'll tend to keep you going after holiness. But no, I think this often happens also. The awakened souls use many ineffectual means to obtain cleansing. And so Job says, he washed himself with snow water, making his hands never so clean. No, I thought that reminds me of my own attempts to get clean on my own. Many people try works, and many people try rituals, and many people try forms. They try and be righteous by acting, and they are foolishly making their own righteousness. The Bible says they would rather give their bodies to be burned and their goods to feed the poor than to submit to salvation by grace, which of course is the only way. It says you can give your body to be burned, doesn't mean a thing. Give all your belongings to the poor, doesn't mean a thing, because if you don't have love, you don't have anything. And I thought it peculiar that Job talked of snow water. I thought, why? You know what the Lord showed me? Because it was hard to get. They had to climb for it. Hey, look, everybody, I'm king of the mountain. I got up here and I got this snow water. Well, I thought, why didn't he wash himself by the streams a little further down the mountain? Was it too easy? Why not come to the fountain? Was it too easy? Bible says, stay where you're at and God will come down for you. Down in the valley, oh, the valley so low. Hear the Holy Ghost wind blow, boys. Hear the wind blow. See, I believe it's because men set a high value on a very difficult procedure and they go up on top of a mountain looking for snow water. Doesn't do them any good. In the end, they say, even my clothes abhor to me. And so I think the majority of the so-called Christian world prefer form and ritual and organized chanting and candles and veils and tall hats and robes, swinging incense. Many have organs that are upwards from 40,000 to 140,000, and they have more in organs than they have in feeding the poor, and people are starving to death, and they're playing that weird vampirish music. And I think you can play that organ till the building falls down, and God will not hear it over a simple praising. But also the snow water enjoyed a reputation for purity. The snow you gather, the snow you melt, and the snow you wash with represents religiousness. Give it up. You cannot self-clean yourself. You can only self-destruct. You'll always end up a stinking, filthy rags of righteousness. Now, preachers, are you hearing me? And some like apostolic succession. And their notion is not scriptural. It came from a cloud land. And some are fantasized by popery. Now there's the Pope, and he's the great cistern full of grace. That's the big pipe. And then he pours out to the cardinals. They're the medium pipes. And then from the cardinals, the small pipes, and then to the bishops, the smaller pipes, and then to the priests, and yet smaller drips, then get to the people. And so I think a lot of people are deceived by it. Because you know why? It has no foundation. I said it and I'm glad. There is no foundation to that whatsoever. There is no peace in it. Because such snow water, let's call it, has no solace. There is no connection between outward acts and the purifying of the heart. My hands were never so clean. In Hebrew, it means lye soap. And so we don't start with a baptism and I know, of course, the Bible preaches us all. We start by accepting Jesus. Listen to Job, though. Though I wash my hands, and let me close it. Though I wash my hands in snow water and make myself never so clean, yet shalt thou plunge me into the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. Didn't do me no good. I went ahead and washed with snow water. I had to crawl up to the top of the mountain where everybody could see me. You all see me crawl up there. Oh, what a great climb it was. Oh, you know how righteous I was when I climbed all the way to the top and all the way up there, and I washed my hands in this snow water, and yet thou plunge me into the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. And so we see we can't cleanse ourselves. God hates it, abhors it. And so these worthless experiments, I think, would cease in trying to cleanse yourselves. If you would love the gospel, without, the Bible says, the shedding of the blood, there is no remission. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. It's a simple accepting of the Lord Jesus Christ. God alone can remove sin by the blood of Jesus. And lastly, be sure quickened souls will try to get purity the wrong way. Mark it down, they will. And the Bible said God will thrust them down into the ditch. His head and his mouth and his ears will be filled with pollution, and his very clothes are so foul that he utterly abhors himself. Can't stand himself. And so you see here, Job tried to give himself a snow job. He promised himself, I will and I will not, and he was good for 2 minutes, and then the snow job turns to muck and mire and mud, and God throws him, it says, into the ditch over and over until he learns, Job, stop crawling up the mountain for everybody to see. Stop wandering up there telling me that you washed your hands with snow water. Hey, you over there listening on the radio. Holy Spirit is after you. You start by wiping the mud out of your eyes so men at least look like trees are walking. You wash the mud out of your ears. Do you have ears and you can't hear? You wash the mud out of your mouth. Bible says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Look away from yourself. Look away from self-improvement programs. They're not working. You're muddy in a stinking mess. Only Jesus can save you, and he wants to save you. Lay down your laundry soap and your snow water. And so by such severe training, and we all go through it, the awakened ones are led to look to Jesus alone so that you'll see Jesus only. Praise God you go through things. I mean, we're in a time right now when you need to go through things for the helping of other people, and they're thinking they're going crazy. Say, no, 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 go on through. Don't try to, snow job like Job. And so you out there, you've washed your hands in snow water, but still like Job, the boils remain. Stop self-denial. That won't help either. You'll fall into the ditch over and over and over and over again. The Bible says it is God that justifieth. You can't justify yourself. It's God. And he says, I'll justify who I'm going to justify, and I'll glorify who I'm going to glorify. No one will take you out of the Father's hand. I'm going to do the whole job for you. Stop trying to get it. Snow job me. So first the Lord condemns them in their own consciences. Then he justifies them in his own grace. If I receive the sentence of death in myself, it, I believe, is a very earnest, the very much earnestness of deliverance in my Redeemer. Yes, world, God's light is out seeking those who will be saved. And everyone that would come will be saved. It's such a simple message, but see if we don't give it. I'll just get all lost in all this mishmash. And people just think they're going nuts and everything else. And all it is job, is the Lord saying, don't Job me and don't try to give me a snow job. Because I'll just keep throwing you in the ditch till you understand. With lily white hands and all. And I hope you got something out of this message tonight. God knows I've lived it. The only way that you get a message, preacher, is by living it. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just snow jobbing. Yeah, that's right. Just a snow job. You give people a snow job. They ain't going to clean them up. Got to tell them the blood of Jesus washes away all their sins. And to get off your guilt trips, let the conviction come in, change, and you know, you're going to have your ups and you're going to have your downs. Be a person. Stop trying to be some kind of a religious, I don't know what. Doesn't work. Does not work. Will not work. Hasn't worked. God doesn't want it to work. He abhors it. He hates it. Stop trying to take credit. Jesus did the whole job. Now can you receive it? I do, I do, I do. Until that we walk about a week and we're so good. And we look at us, oh, why can't they grow? Dumb question. Off into the ditch you go again. Your lily white hands are going to get all muddy, and your clothes are going to abhor you. Your covering, in other words, abhors you. Can't stand you, but will never leave you. When you go in that ditch, Jesus goes right with you. Hey, the gospel message is so great. And so wonderful and so powerful. Preachers, don't you ever be ashamed of the gospel message, and don't be ashamed to preach it. You'll never get done talking about it. It is so wide and so tall and so deep, you're never going to get around it or over it or under it. Why is that? We have to get into all this other junk when there's a gospel of Jesus Christ to preach. Hallelujah. Aren't you excited? God, I'm so excited about what's happening down here. Woo! I'm so excited even about tomorrow now. The tomorrow's going to be a great day. I mean, a fantastic day in God. Well, I mean, all the fixings are here right now. Isn't that great? And it all happens because you give up your own righteousness and your own pride, your own worry, how you look. Now you have to give that all up. And then God moves in. He can halfway stand you. Know what I mean? And he just does things. I don't know why he does them or how he does them, how he does it, but I know he does it. You can just tell when God is going to move, not because you're perfect, not because you're holy, or not because you're righteous, because you're just a person that admits he's a sinner. Saved by grace. And God, can I be used today? As nasty as I am, I know I wasn't too nice the other day, but can you use me? Well, there's no one else available, Paul. I guess we'll have to use you. Be available. Lord, just bless this audience in here tonight, this vast cloud and crowd of witnesses that are sitting here tonight, above and below. And Lord, this crowd of witnesses listening on the radio, and we just ask, Lord, you bless each one of the radio audience right now. In the mighty, thank you, Lord, for them being faithful and sending in the money through the radio ministry to keep this mission going. In Jesus' name, we want to thank every radio listener right now, even the ones that haven't sent anything in yet. We thank you for, you are going to send something in, aren't you? You? Hey, you are, aren't you? Amen.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 267. That was part two to WASH. If you missed part one, you can go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you will find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You'll also find show notes, and within those show notes are scripture links. So be sure to check those out. Join us every Friday for part one of Pastor Paul's podcast, every Sunday for part two. Next Friday's message is Self. Have a great week. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper, it may be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve
yes,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray, you may call me anything, no matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.